On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, 1 hour from now, we hand things off to Vern for his On Deck show as the Royals continue their series against the A's right here on 96.5 The Fan. We will get right back into the Chiefs in just a second, including a question that is coming up yet again around Andy Reid. It's an annual occurrence at this point. We'll also, in the Chiefs Red half hour here in a half hour, discuss more about Ashton Gelati, the unfortunate news after practice today, Andy Reid announcing that Ashton Gelati has a ruptured plantar fascia in his right foot. And so that's going to take some time. We don't know an exact timeline, but I think we all know it's not something that's going to be good in a week or two. So how does that impact the season? We'll get back into that more. But before we get to any of that, you just did a little investigation during the break. You were on to something earlier this morning. We, of course, have been up in St. Joe. We are back in studio. And last Friday, we had a fan club. We had a couple guests in. We had one of our listeners. We had Matt Foster in studio as well. And so we had our headphones moved around. And when we were in St. Joe, you don't need your headphones. We have our broadcast headsets. So you left your headphones in the studio.
So I was like, well, I got in here and I was like, oh no, my headphones aren't in my bag as we're getting ready to start the show. And then I remembered that I let a listener borrow them last week. And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? No big deal. I let a listener borrow them last week. They're in the studio. And I want to point out that before I even did some sleuthing, I said, oh man, I left my headphones in the studio. And I knew that that was a mistake because that meant Carrington Harrison would go about trying to steal them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm probably just being paranoid. And yet I let my paranoid brain win, Drew. So what did I do? I found myself popping on the old 96.5 The Fan feed. Over on YouTube.
You did some investigation.
Over on YouTube, you can pop on the feeds. You can see old shows. And what do I see on Monday? And then again on Tuesday? And then again on Wednesday? And what I saw was Carrington wearing my headphones. Even though he knew they weren't his, he just saw, cool, headphones in the studio, popped them on his head, and then has been storing them over here where he keeps his own headphones. He just took them and just started using them for 3 days.
So where are they?
They're on my head
now. So they're back. They never left.
No, but he was just using them with no, because he usually steals Scott Park's headphones. Yeah. Carrington, I want to be very clear. This is not pocket watching. Carrington, without even knowing how much money he makes, makes enough money to purchase headphones. I am at least confident of that one thing. And if not, I get Chick-fil-A once less this week or whatever the hell it takes.
I have enough money to purchase headphones.
Why are you using my headphones?
I didn't want to take it there, but
and I will say headphones.
This has happened ever since I've been here 3 years now. Yeah. This has been an occurrence
for seven years.
Carrington has been doing afternoons for 15 years, I think Carrington has been doing afternoons for 15 years in this market.
I think he's been borrowing headphones for 15 years.
And I don't think he's ever bought his own pair of headphones. It's pretty crazy. It really is.
It's a seek help moment. You got to stop. And I will say, like, for a one-off, every once we'll do this. Headphones are a very personal thing in the sense that these have been
a very
on,
personal thing.
I wear these 20 hours a week, 50 weeks a year. I put these on for 900 to 1,000 hours a year. I don't want somebody else's head on them.
Yeah, you sweat all around the earbuds and everything as well. That's true. Everybody always, whenever we bring up this topic, people say, how come the station doesn't get them? That's just a radio. That doesn't matter what station I've ever worked at. Everybody provides their own headphones. Like no station buys you your headphones.
No station I've ever worked at.
That's just not, for whatever reason, that's just never been a thing. So it's just known that everybody has their own headphones. Plus everybody likes different ones. Some people do like the in-ear ones. Yeah. I can't do that for 4 hours. It would drive me crazy. My ears would hurt. So we all kind of like the over-the-ear ones. They're just more comfortable. But we all have different ones. Look, these are like $40 ones on Amazon. I've had for 2 years. I mean, they're not fancy ones. It doesn't take much. So yes, Carrington was borrowing your headphones. I'm not surprised.
They die like once every year or 2 years, and I throw the old ones in the trash and I buy new ones. And somehow Carrington has managed to go 15 full years without popping over to Target to buy a pair. I couldn't believe it.
Someone said Carrington might as well have used your toothbrush.
Genuinely. And also, why would he want the, like, 900,000 hours of these things on my ears? Why do you want to wear them?
Someone says, Cody, he's not stealing them. He's borrowing them. Then why are you saying he's stealing? Someone's upset with your word.
My characterization?
Your word usage there. Yeah.
I think he, you know why?
We should, Scott Parks hear this early? Because we could have him in here as well to vent.
Because I think if I had given him free rein, I think he would have stolen them. That's why.
Oh, well, that's...
You're saying if you would openly said he can have them, then he absolutely would not say, no, they're yours. He would take them.
Yeah, but the difference is, like, Carrington's never going to take them. Theft is different for Carrington in this scenario because he doesn't take them out of the studio.
How about this?
They don't leave the building. Leave the building.
We don't need to do this because, as you said, he should have his own pair. Today is Carrington's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to Carrington. Happy birthday.
I'm going to clip this and tag. Actually, I'm going to go back and clip it.
It is happy birthday, Carrington.
Happy birthday, Carrington. Sorry, man. I didn't realize it was your birthday. I could have saved this for a different day.
It is his birthday today.
I immediately feel bad.
Yeah, it is. It is his birthday. I'm like 95. I'm like 99% sure. Maybe you can get him a pair of headphones for his birthday.
Someone said from the text line, they will donate a pair of Skullcandy headphones.
The thing is, I'm not even sure he's all that picky. He'll steal ones that are in the studio. He'll use headphones from anybody, anywhere in the building. So I don't think he's picky on the set of headphones.
Hang on a second. I know the pair that he that frequents a lot.
The ones Scott Parks used might cost $15.
That's what I'm trying to find.
It's a cheap pair of headphones.
$21 at Target right now. $21.
Someone said Carrington was bragging the other day not having to buy nosebleeds at Kauffman anymore, but he's not buying headphones. He's got to allocate his funds elsewhere, I guess.
I would just point out, like, think about, like, any product, like, anything you do in your job, and the same thing I said, if you had to use a keyboard, and you had to use it 900 hours a year, and they were like, hey, you got to buy your own keyboard, you wouldn't just be like, I'll just borrow Gold's every day.
Who buys their own keyboard?
I'm just using a different piece of pen.
You're trying to find any example.
If all you do is write if you're a lawyer and you have to write 900 hours a year, you'd buy a nice pen, your own pen. You wouldn't just borrow one for the rest of time.
Happy birthday, Carrington.
Happy birthday, C-Dot.
Yeah. Someone said, Cody, grow up. From the 913. It's not like you're sharing condoms.
Relax.
Wow, what kind of comp is that?
That is terrible.
We jumped to it.
That's a terrible comp.
That's a terrible one.
Anyway,
happy birthday.
Your headphones are here, though, Carrington. They're not gone.
Someone said he does wear earbuds sometimes.
When he gets in the studio later.
If you're using other people's headphones with the earbud, that's nasty.
Where they're in your ear,
there's clearly some earwax that have gotten on there, that's nasty.
Yeah, that's
Somebody said we should pitch in $5 and go buy him some of those Sony headphones for $20 at Target.
He doesn't need help purchasing them. He's an adult with an adult salary. He can purchase his own. This is not one of those, like, Drew's a producer at the station, and a suit costs $200. This isn't one of those scenarios.
Thank you to the text line.
He can swing the $20. Uh-huh. Hey, you know what? Maybe he got a birthday card from his mom, and it had $20 in it. Ah, thanks, mom. A little birthday cash. I got a great idea how you could burn a hole in your pocket.
Someone just suggested you give him the current ones you're wearing, and then if you just buy yourself a new pair.
I am going to buy a new pair soon.
Well, then just give him those.
I'd rather throw them in the garbage.
Oh, no. Why do that? Just give him a pair.
I'd rather, no. It's, you know what it is?
You want to make an example out of it is what it is. Exactly. You would rather throw them out than donate them to Carrington.
It is accepting that behavior, and I won't do it. I'll go buy a new pair of headphones today as soon as I throw these directly into the dumpster outside. It's about setting an example, you know? Set an example.
That's another one of those father-son moments, Gold, where...
Yeah. You leave your bike outside, your dad... Yeah.
He's trying to teach Carrington a lesson here.
Your parents ever tell you, like, if you leave your bike outside, someone's going to steal it, and then they hit it around the back of the house...
Oh, of course.
...to make you think it was gone. It's one of those. Let's talk a little Chiefs football here. Before we talk more about Ash and Gelati later on. I saw over the Kansas City Star and the Athletic and a couple of other things. Once again, the annual, I think, and fairly annual... conversation surrounding Andy Reid's retirement came up. In reading the article again, I'll say the same thing I said last year, which is the only thing I do know is if you listen to any quote Andy Reid has ever given on the subject, he has never at any stage given any indication that he is about to retire or that he's seeing near the end or he's only a couple years away. He always makes it sound like he's 4 years down the road. And he'll talk to you 3 years from now when he's only a year down the road, and he'll probably be 4 more years down the road on that. I don't get any sense that Andy Reid is contemplating retirement at this time, despite the fact that Florio was trying to predict 2 years ago or something insane.
Well, every Super Bowl. I mean, I remember being on Radio Row in Vegas in particular. That was one of the number one stories. Any hit we did with another station, that one of the first questions they asked it, do you think this is the last one for Andy? And it was all fueled by Florio. And that was in Vegas. Cody, that was 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Right? When the Chiefs won in overtime? I think it's been 3 years almost. Yeah. 2.5 years, whatever we're at now.
Crazy.
Which is crazy to think about.
Then.
But that's where a lot of that fuel came from.
Yeah.
Look, we all know Andy Reid, of course, is on the back half, the back slope, whatever you want to call it, of his career. That's evident. However, I don't think he thinks that this year or next year is the last year or anything like that at all. We have said this over and over with this conversation that becomes a yearly thing. As long as he is physically able to coach, the guy is going to keep coaching. And as long as the results on the field continue, right? We're having a different conversation if you tell me this team is, this is not happening in my opinion, but if they won six games again, okay, they won six last year. If they won six games again, there will be a real conversation at the end of this year whether or not, hey, is it time? Is the game passed them by? These kind of things would be a real conversation. But if this team gets back to being competitive, playoff team, viewed as one of the better teams, that stuff goes by the wayside. And then as long as he's physically able to do it, he's going to coach. It is so weird how there are other coaches in this league over the years that have been older than him, that have certainly won less games than him, that nobody questions their longevity, but people question Andy's longevity.
Look, in fairness, he is now the oldest coach in the NFL. He wasn't for a number of years because Pete Carroll and some other guys were still around. So he's the oldest coach in the NFL by 5 years. Todd Bowles is somehow 62. The second oldest coach in the NFL. Harbaugh's 62. Sean Payton's 62. And then everyone else is in their mid-50s or earlier. So he's older. He's 5 years older than any active coach in the NFL. But I'd point out that Bill Belichick didn't even leave the Patriots till 4 years after this age, Andy is actively. And so when I listen to him talk, if you made me set the over under 3.5, I'd still take the over. Because I think it is simply just one of those, and Twitch pointed it out too. It is simply one of those just barring health. Assuming he is healthy and capable of doing it, I don't think he's anywhere close to doing it. And I mentioned this on the air. I think part of the reason people think he won't be healthy enough to do it is because he's always been a slightly bigger guy. And so I think in people's heads, well, he won't be healthy 4 years from now to do it. I think that's unfair to Andy, but I do think that that's why people predict the end sooner. He is 68. I think the end's coming sooner.
Yeah, I don't think he's coaching till he's 75 years old. I'm with you there, but also I don't think he's got only a year left. I don't think that's the case. To me right now, the only way it's cut short in the next year or two, Cody, is if the team performance starts to really slide. If they go back-to-back years missing the playoffs, there will be real conversation just whether or not that's you're heading in the right direction still. But that's a football reason. You're right. The people that think he's going to stop coaching Mike Florio 3 years ago, where people just thought he was just going to quit, not that they were worried about where his performance was. The guy was in a Super Bowl just 2 years ago.
I think that part of that is I will always point out Andy Reid is in love with the game of football, right? Always has been. It is his baby. It is the thing he has cared the most about in his entire life. He has built his entire career around it. I can't imagine a person who has dedicated every single second of their adult and youth life around this sport getting a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and then saying, you know what? I think I'm good. I think he wants to ride out 3-4 more years of prime Patrick Mahomes before he's giving it up. I just can't imagine. What do you do all this for? If then when that guy finally walks through the door and after all these years, these painstaking years of fighting for a trophy as an NFL head coach, that guy walks through and gets you 3 and 5 years. Now you're going to hang it up? I can't see it. You're an outsider's perspective. You didn't grow up in Kansas City. You think Andy Reid's close?
I mean, as close as in, within 3 years, yes. I don't think it's close as in, he's going to retire after this year. I do. The weird thing, though, is, the Eagles got rid of Andy after they had a couple bad seasons, and he obviously had made it to all those NFC title games, made it to a Super Bowl. The fact that Andy's won it as many times as he has here, let's just use in this hypothetical, they go 7-10, and they miss the playoffs again. They aren't getting rid of him, are they? I think the conversation is going to be there, but from the standpoint of as long as Andy's coaching Patrick Mahomes, Cody, I think if it's his choice to leave or not, he's not leaving for another couple of years. But if for whatever reason they don't make the playoffs and they decide to move on, I think Andy would be done because I don't think
but
he would go to start somewhere else at all.
I agree with you, but that's why I said that the conversation about his longevity is just only going to be whether or not if they miss the playoffs again this year, then there's going to be a real conversation
football
about whether or not
things,
for football reasons.
Yeah,
Mike Florio started all this years ago, not because he thought he couldn't coach or whatever. It was just that he thought he was too old or not healthy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to retire.
He kept claiming someone was telling him that.
That was the Florio thing. I mean, look, very rarely in sports, whether you're a football player or a football coach or a basketball player, basketball coach, whatever, very rarely do you get to go out on your own terms. So when you have that opportunity to do it, you know, it's usually take it. Bill Belichick got fired. Essentially,
Bill Belichick couldn't go out on his own terms.
He didn't just say, I'm done with coaching, and that's why he went to North Carolina. He went to North Carolina because he wanted to prove to people he could still coach. And that's very much up in the air at North Carolina right now. Who knows what they're going to be. They open up next Saturday, as we talked about.
TCU. If they miss, I don't think they would. I actually don't know if the Chiefs. I'm just thinking of this now. I don't think the Chiefs would actually fire him.
No, they would mutually part ways if that day ever came. He has earned that opportunity to exit on his own terms whenever that day is.
Right.
Hopefully, it's very long time from now.
Have a good enough relationship, obviously.
He could go 0-17 this year, and I don't think it'd be Andy Reid got fired.
I feel confident saying this. I think you guys agree. We will never see a headline, Andy Reid fired as the head coach of the Chiefs. We are never going to see that headline. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure. I think they said mutually agreed to part ways for Bill Belichick. I don't even think it was a firing.
But same thing, right? He did a lot for the organization.
Maybe that one was a firing.
I don't remember.
I think we knew what it was, but I think they called it a mutually
parting. They called it a mutual and amicable parting of ways.
But behind closed doors, it was a firing, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you'll at least let Andy go out like that. But there's no scenario. Like, if they miss the playoffs this year, Andy will, for the first time in a very, very, very long time, be on, like, I would say, a hotter seat?
A lukewarm seat? A warm seat?
Yeah. But like, again, he won't be 5,000-1 to be the coach.
I don't think he's
fired.
Not going to be the head coach after this year if they miss it, just because all that he has done, I don't think.
But there will be a real conversation about whether or not he needs to be stripped of play calling if it was because of the offense, whatever. However, I don't think he would ever coach without being the play caller. So to me, that's where you would get into the stepping away stuff. This is all more football related. As far as everything else, that's still the same Mike Florio crap from 3 years ago. I don't think Andy Reid's hanging up anytime soon.
That never made any sense. He was making it seem like people around the league were all, we think Andy's going to retire. Like, by who? Who's saying that? Ghosts? Yeah. You guys got drunk at the bar and you thought? Because, like, other than that, there was
someone says if Andy
no
did
there.
Retire, even after a Super Bowl win this year or something, would they just promote from within? I don't think so.
I don't think anybody
on the staff would be the next head coach.
I don't think you could afford to simply just say, well, we got EB as the guy going. You would have to evaluate.
Or Spags.
It'd be a new staff.
Or Spags, too. You'd have to evaluate your options.
I think you would go outside the organization.
Unfortunately, I guess for the Chiefs' sake, if Andy were to step away, unfortunately, it's not like college football where you can just buy out with Sean McVay's contract and be like, yo, man, come over here and coach Pat for a little bit.
I mean, you can. It just would never happen, right? The Chiefs traded for Dick Vermeil, remember?
Oh, sure.
Right? I mean, Sean Payton, now that was different.
They could trade for Ben Johnson. I don't know.
Sean Payton left the Saints for a year, then had to get traded to the Broncos. That's how that. So it happens, but those are rare. Circumstances.
We know both before we get to the trash today, we know both the Chiefs and the Royals are getting new stadiums. I saw a headline today and I thought, what? The Raiders? Yes, the Raiders, who just built a brand new stadium not that long ago over at Allegiant, are requesting over $160 million for a new renovation, making a gateway or a different entrance into the stadium in order to do it. And I thought, I'll tell you right now, and I want the new stadiums where they are. You better not be coming looking for a $200 million handout less than 10 years after you build the building. That's crazy to me. They're asking for like $80 million more in public funds. It's like $75 million out of a fund that exists, admittedly. But they're asking for that money, I feel, a touch early
to start doing
some new stuff.
I mean, we don't live in Vegas, so I don't know. This feels like this was always part of the Raiders' plan, at least, was to eventually ask for a new plaza area around Allegiant Stadium, because we've been there. The stadium itself is fine. The area around it, there's nothing next. Like, yes, the strip, but it's not like it's a 2 minute walk.
It's like nestled into a corner of street.
If you look at the aerial shot, you think it literally is like, oh, the strip is right. No, it's still a hell of a walk to get to the strip. There's nothing right outside the stadium. There used to be a strip club there. It just closed, according to our buddy Matt, who works in Vegas.
Oh, okay. Thanks for the heads up.
We'll see him next
week. Yeah, we will.
Our guy, Matt Peralt. He tweeted about it. That's the reason why I know, I swear. And so that's gone now, I guess. And they have a plaza area they want to build. There is a $75 million fund that was set aside for future renovations of Allegiant. It's just weird that it's happening this early. With new Arrowhead or whatever, with any of these new stadiums, after 20 or 25 years, they all come back and say, hey, we need another $300 million for renovation.
Sure, we do.
That always is going to happen. It's still another part of the ridiculousness of the whole public finance stuff. But 8 years after it's been built or whatever we're at now seems crazy.
2020 is when it opened.
6 years.
So it opened 6 years ago, and they're like, $160 million, please. And you're like, the hell?
Is it not even for
we
the stadium
or just the $2 billion?
There's no way it's for the actual stadium.
It's just for the like opening gateway.
So it's for like project. An entertainment district, not necessarily the stadium.
They're calling them front door upgrades, which includes a pedestrian deck, public plaza, event deck, and transportation improvements. Okay. It's not even like cool stuff. These pedestrian decks, I don't know who these are for. They must be for someone because all these stadiums keep building them. And I'm just like,
well, people want a
you want
safe
me to pay $100 million
in.
Dollars to... You should have built that the first time.
And a safe way to walk in.
Are you just now learning a highway's near here? You're just figuring that out? You thought there were going to be people at the stadium? What a wild notion.
No, I'm with you. I think it's ridiculous after 6 years they're asking for the money. My guess, though, is that this was always part of the plan for that stadium. That's all.
It just seems crazy that 6 years after, they need $160 million. Mm-hmm. 75 of which would come from... the authority that would created a new, that was a fund that was meant for stadium
improvements. It's the Las Vegas Sports Authority. Yeah.
Later, and then the remaining 83 would come from private funding. I will say, I don't know how they're going to end up funding that outside of it. I'd just be like, no, we're good. We're going to save that $75 million. We're going to keep it in escrow. We'll fix some stuff later.
My guess is how they get done in Vegas. The same reason why we talk about even here, but on a bigger scale, it's Las Vegas, entertainment capital of the world. They want all these other events. They're probably acting like as if they need that. That's their excuse, I'm sure.
To compete.
They didn't have the World Cup because the stadium was designed poorly. They can't bring in grass or whatever it was or something, right? Wasn't that the whole deal there in Vegas?
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't change the width of the field enough to have the World Cup. Otherwise, Vegas would have had a World Cup
match. This goes back to the Buffalo thing. It's... when you are building something that costs $3 billion, shouldn't you be thinking about every contingent of any possible event?
They might need some more money, too, to have some renovations.
You might want to host.
Like, soon, the Bills.
No.
6 years later, they're going to be trying to get rid of those obstructed seats.
Exactly.
The worst excuse for that was from the Bills, where they're like, well, not all the seats were intended for football. It's a football stadium.
Yeah, that was stupid.
That's a crazy thing to say.
Some of them were intended only for the concert. What? It's a football stadium first.
That's its primary purpose.
Also, how many concerts are you going to have at that stadium in Buffalo? Like,
and if you're going to a concert, I like to see the whole.
Wintertime,
I still like to see everything.
Limits. Yeah, I don't know.
It's wild. Makes no sense.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Los Angeles for this one. Highway 101, I believe it is. Yeah, driver,
right?
You have? All right.
Yeah,
a highway there. Yeah, isn't that like the? No, Highway 1's the one that has like the.
That's
highway 1's the one you're thinking of, the picturesque.
I've been on the 101 too, but
the
yeah,
one is the
I'm
picturesque
right.
on the coast. Right. Anyway, this is 101. After California Highway Patrol officers observed a motorist traveling well below the flow of traffic in the passing lane, causing a backup. The incident occurred. It was a sedan traveling 58 miles an hour in the left lane, causing at least five vehicles to pass on the right. The driver was cited for a violation of their California vehicle code, which requires slower traffic to yield to the right. Right. You're not supposed to be.
Yeah,
I think this is like everywhere,
standard.
Isn't it? Right. You got to move out of the left lane. They gave him a ticket for left lane camping. I'm convinced if anybody on this show was left lane camping, we all know who it would be.
Not me. It better not be me you're talking about.
Oh, I think it would be you.
Mr. Cruise Control? I follow the traffic rules.
Drew doesn't use cruise control at all, but I think you've told us you're using cruise control nonstop.
I am a follower everywhere. Of traffic rules, so why would that be the one that I broke? If anything, this drive down from St. Joe is going to send me into psychosis of this.
Are we
every single day
the reason
coming
why we
down
think this
I-29.
Is because the way that we're picturing this is this individual had cruise control on going like 55 in a 70. But they had cruise control on. And you use cruise control more than anybody. You use cruise control going 40.
Now, yeah, I will use cruise control.
So I think that of all people, it fits that it would make sense. You would be the one to use cruise control.
Not
and
to
you'd be locked
in.
I'm glad they ticketed this person, though.
Me too. The only thing I will say is, like, I will, like, if I'm going, like, let's say I'm speeding up. We're heading down I-29. I'm trying to get ahead of all these cars in the left lane because the semis are slowing it down. And I've got it up to 80.
Yeah.
Let's just say. And there's someone, like, and I'm actively getting ready to pass cars, and there's someone, like, riding your ass. I'm not getting out of the way for you, pal. I'm going 10 miles an hour above the speed limit. I don't have to get out of the way for you. I'm passing in the left lane.
Oh, if you're... Yeah,
I totally agree with that,
if
Cody,
you're actively passing, yes. I thought you were just saying, like, you're going fast enough already, you're not going to get
over.
No,
I'll just get out of the way.
I passed you yesterday. You were going too slow, man. Get the hell out of the way.
You were going... I was going, I think, at that time. I was relatively quick. I was going... I'll say this. Drew, I was going above the speed limit.
Well, so was I.
And Gold was still flying by.
I was sick of driving on I-29. I was driving still safely. It's still safe. Don't make it seem like it wasn't a safe speed. I wasn't going 90 miles an hour. You're making it seem like I was. I was going above the speed limit, but I was still in, I would say, the very safe range, the normal range of that 10-ish above.
10-ish.
Ish being the operative word, depending.
Might have been 15 over at one point, but yeah.
This is, and like, maybe if you're a long, I know we have a lot of people who do like long-haul driving and stuff. Sports radio is really good for that. I need one thing to be explained to me. Is there a reason why it wouldn't be safer or better? This is what happens on the highway coming down. Speed limit 65 miles an hour. The semi-truck who's probably speed restricted is going 60.
Okay.
I then get stuck behind the semi-truck passing the guy going 60. And based on how quickly he passed him, must be going 61 miles an hour.
Took a little
bit. Could you not just stay behind that guy long enough for me to get out of your way? And then you can get past him? Or is it, look, there's maybe a bigger point to it that I don't understand. But I feel like you just like at the speed at which you're passing this person, I'm not sure it qualifies as passing. If there was a way, if you could just wait until I got past, that'd be great.
I mean, they want to pass the truck in front of them.
I know.
But no, the worst is when they're both basically going the identical speed and you're just like, someone figured out, someone decide what we're doing here. Let's go.
I think the text line's wrong from 816. I know Cody's an awful driver and I've never seen him drive. I don't get
I'll say this in
tickets.
Cody's defense.
I'm a very safe driver.
In Cody's defense, we've gone on a road trip together before. But Cody's a good driver. I just think the cruise control on side streets is insane.
Yeah.
I do think that there's a level of that makes it crazy. But that doesn't mean you're a bad driver because of it, though. Yes.
Now, Drew, I think we don't have to revisit the whole conversation.
I'm not a bad driver because
I don't think you're a bad driver, but I think you would drive me crazy on a road trip, especially if we were following you. Because you don't keep a constant speed because you're not on cruise control.
I think I do a solid job of keeping this because I would pass you. I'm cognizant though, I think, of what speed I'm going, where I try to stay in a range of like 5 miles. Like if I'm going the speed limit 70, I try to stay within the range of 68 to 75.
Yeah, I think the problem there. And that's cool, but I think the issue would be I got cruise control set at 73, let's say. You are passing me going 75, then 5 minutes later, because you're not on cruise, you're suddenly going 71, and then I'm passing you. That's a problem. Stick with one damn speed. That's what I'm discussing.
I really hate
but if you're
passing someone and then them passing me and then me passing them, I'm like, what are we doing here? This is the worst.
If I'm going up a hill, you are passing me because I don't have cruise control on. And I'm in I'm not getting down to 5 miles per gallon to haul it up a hill 70. That ain't happening.
No cruise control is wild.
Nope.
All right, up next, guys, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And someone that doesn't have enough exposure on television is apparently getting even more exposure, more than yesterday's update.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, that's next.
Hey, it's Josh Simmons from the Kansas City Chiefs, and welcome into the Chiefs Red Half Hour every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk more about Ashton Gelati, who unfortunately has a ruptured plantar fascia in his right foot. We don't have an exact timeline, but major ramifications for the defensive line, including what it now means for R. Mason Thomas, perhaps more Emmanuel Ogba. We'll get into that in just a bit. A reminder, in 25 minutes, we're handing things off to Vern. Josh Vernier's On Deck show coming up as the Royals get set to wrap up their series against the A's right here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we went to break, we mentioned, we were kind of joking about it because we had an update yesterday on Pat McAfee's going to be part of the Monday Night Football pregame show, and the first Monday Night Football game of the year is Chiefs-Broncos, so McAfee's first pregame on Monday night will be here at Arrowhead in Kansas City. And then right when we were going to break, Andrew Marchand, who covers sports business kind of stuff, he's reporting that ESPN is in talks with the NFL about creating a Pat McAfee Monday Night Football alt-cast with McAfee and his crew likely working the weeks when Peyton and Eli's Manning cast is off.
Well, the good news is that's an optional one and I don't have to watch it. So,
yes. So I will say this about all the alt-cast. This is not unique to McAfee or the Manning cast. You know, I've been kind of on the record with the alt-cast that I'm only interested in those when the game sucks. So if it's a good game, if it's the fourth quarter, it's a one-score game, I want the actual play-by-play, old, I guess, old school broadcast. Give me, I guess, Aikman and Buck in that scenario, and I'm good. I love the Manning cast, and I think I'll be entertained by McAfee when it's a crappy game. If it's the third quarter and it's a 20-point lead and I'm bored, or it's just an ugly football game, that's the only time I have any interest in any of them. I don't care if it's McAfee, the Mannings. I don't care. It's the alt cast to me are just filler for bad football.
I prefer this to I'm being forced to watch McAfee in a million places. I would just, I'm good. Like I've had it. I'm at my fill and have been, I would say 78 shows ago or whatever, at least in an alt cast case. This feels like one of those ones I can't really complain about in the sense that Gold, I just have to never turn it on. It's not a problem for me. You know, I don't, you know, if I want to watch, if I'm not entertained by the game, I'll just stop watching the game before I go to the McAfee all cast. And so that part of it, at least it's optional, but my God, this is a maximum exposure point. How many more things can he be on? How much more time again, could be in his schedule?
He's already there though, right? I mean, I guess he's already there. You know, he's on the pregame show for Monday Night Football and he's already going to be at some of these games. So they're just going to add it to it, but he's the face of ESPN and he's making $80 million a year. They're going to work him to death. And that's where it's at. I'm not even, it's not me telling you that I need him to be on more stuff. I just get why ESPN's doing it. And the alt cast doesn't bug me because I truly don't really watch many of them to begin with.
No. Yeah. That it bothers me less than the one yesterday where he's going to be in the crew where, you know, at halftime, that's a little less easy to just like go away from it, or I'm less likely to go away from it. And this is, again, it can be a lot of different things. He obviously is very popular. He has a massive audience. So I understand where I stand in the minority of this. I'm good on all things McAfee for a while. And some of that is absolutely exposure. As in, I've seen far too much of this one person and I don't need them in everything. This goes back to like even people who I think do a good job. Like we talk about Kirk Herbstreit. Kirk has enough jobs. I don't need him on Thursday Night Football. I don't think he does as good of a job there. Maybe it's, I don't need Ryan Seacrest on Wheel of Fortune. Maybe sometimes people just have enough jobs and I don't need to see him on every single thing I consume. I imagine this is how some people feel about ads that include certain people that seemingly are on everything, right? Like you're like, boy, Shaq's got a lot of ads.
I just think it's simply that you have, they cut him a check for, you know, north of 60.
And they're trying to get the money.
And they're going to have him be part of every, they paid him that salary for a reason. The same way when Stephen A. Smith got his massive contract, he's on everywhere. Same reaction to that. He's oversaturated as well. This is not not everything has to have some deeper meaning to it. Just, I think over time, anybody that's saturated as much as they are, like these two individuals, and they both happen to work at ESPN in this case, that's the reaction that you start to get, right?
ESPN likes to get their money's worth,
you know.
That's
so
the one
anyway
thing we realize
that's just the new news there. All right, let's update you on the Chiefs injury front. We mentioned that Ashton Gelati has a ruptured plantar fascia. When we've been discussing it throughout the show today, we said, hey, what does this mean? We don't know a timeline yet, but this is a significant blow. Maybe it causes R. Mason Thomas to have to play way more than they want early on in the year. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's not. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, did have this tweet out. We'll pass it along. He said he's hearing in the Chiefs' initial evaluation, they are optimistic that Ashton Gelati, who ruptured his plantar fascia, could return in about 3 weeks. If his rehab goes well, Gelati would have a chance to be available September 14th to play on opening night against the Broncos. Now, that's the reporting from Nate Taylor. He's well-connected. I hope that's right. That seems, not aggressive, from him, but from the Chiefs, very optimistic.
Yeah.
So that's great news if that's the case. I hope that's the case. I hope he's ready Monday Night Football. That just seems very optimistic. That's all for a plantar fascia injury. That's all.
If I look at that timeline and I assume that's the most possible optimistic timeline, which Nate Taylor's told us the Chiefs are always going to give you publicly, well, then I feel pretty good to say that he probably should be back by the bye week. So it's not, you and I were talking like maybe be the end of October. Maybe we'd be into November. Who knows how long this injury could keep someone out. But if they're saying there's at least today on August 20th, the possibility of playing on September 14th, well, then
that's awesome. Yeah.
By the time the bye week hits around in week six, that means Gelati's not going to miss an amount of time where the pressure to maybe go sign someone feels a little bit less, or the pressure on the entirety of the season of, this is another defensive lineman you need in order to be available, is a little bit less. And if we pointed out, other than the Denver Broncos game one at home at Arrowhead, those first few weeks aren't that bad. Colts, Dolphins, I mean, those are winnable, easily winnable games. Should be winnable games.
Let me ask you guys this. In this scenario, let's hope he plays week one. But let's say they say, hey, one more week. And so he's ready week two, which is still great. Is R. Mason Thomas getting the most snaps on the edge on that side opposite Karlaftis, or is it Steve Spagnuolo leaning on the veteran and it's Emmanuel Ogba actually play more? I want it to be R. Mason Thomas, but we've been around this defense enough to know that they lean on veterans more early on. I think Ogba will play way more than we think if Jelani doesn't play week one.
So it should be not Ogba. I'd prefer FAU to that. Would I be surprised if Felix Anidike Uzama or Ogba had more snaps than R. Mason Thomas week one or two? No. No. I've been around Spags. He played Mike Edwards more than he played Jaden Hicks last year in some games. So would I be stunned if it was the veteran? No. The veteran it should be is Felix.
I'm not sure about that, though. I mean, Ogba or Felix, I'll be honest, I don't know if there's much of a difference there. I mean,
Ogba rated worse than Mike Dana last year.
And Felix has had how many years to show anything?
I know. I mean, he was hurt most of last year, so we didn't get a chance to see him. I feel like there's still a difference in quality there, isn't there?
I don't know if there is.
Fair. Maybe I don't care that much which one it is. The answer is, will a veteran have more snaps than R. Mason Thomas? Even though if you let me choose right now, one of the guys of those three gets 60% of the snaps and the other guys get 40 on the edge or 50%. And the other two guys share the 50%. I'd vote for R. Mason Thomas right now. I would let young players take their lumps. But if you're making me guess, I'm assuming it's a veteran.
We're on the same page on what I want to have. Well, I want Jelani to be healthy and play week one. But if he's not healthy in week one, no, I want R. Mason Thomas playing as many snaps possible right away and see what the kid's got. But I'm just saying, under Steve Spagnuolo, we have seen they tend to lean more with the veterans. And so my guess is that we would see a lot more Ogba than we necessarily want to see.
Is there a possibility that if they do play R. Mason Thomas for whatever reason, and he plays really well, that he's the guy going forward, and when Ashton Jelani comes back, that he's just a fill-in?
He could Wally Pippen immediately. It wouldn't if he had a sack in his first game or a sack and three pressures or whatever, Drew, he could, it'd be that almost instantaneously, if my guess.
But again, Nate Taylor reporting, he's hearing from the Chiefs, they're optimistic, could return in 3 weeks, Jelani, and has a chance if rehab goes well. There's a lot of if, could in there, right, from the Chiefs' point of view.
I think best case scenario.
It is absolutely, I think, best case scenario. They're just not ruling him out for week one yet, essentially, is what's happening.
Hey, at least which 3 weeks is great. I mean, their initial diagnosis. Now, look, he's got to not have a setback, and he's got to recover well, and he's got to work hard in his rehab. And all that other stuff, certainly. But yeah, I think
the best part about that report is the best part about that report is that even if he's not able to make it by week one, he's not missing half the season. And you know what I mean? I think we can probably say that, which is a lot better than what maybe the initial reaction was to it. So good stuff there from Nate Taylor.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And that's the best case news we probably could have gotten on it today.
Now, you mentioned something to us, I don't know, maybe on Tuesday's show. I think it was a random question or Monday. And you were asking how concerned should you be about a meeting you have coming up? And that's today.
I forgot about it. Well, I put on a shirt with buttons. So put on pants. So I didn't want to show up in shorts and a t-shirt, Drew, you know. I gotta look presentable.
We're off the show at noon today, 15 minutes.
Yeah, correct.
And you informed us earlier in the week you have a meeting with the dean of your, I don't know if it's communications corps, J School at UMKC.
She's in charge of the communications.
Okay, communications. Okay. Uh-huh. And you were maybe a little nervous. We were saying, I think it's about the syllabus being too long. I think it's about you skipping class already in week one. Do you feel good today? And yes, you are dressed up nicer because of that. Someone texted in and said the morning show was wondering why you and I are both wearing pants today instead of shorts. Honestly, we've been wearing shorts outside nonstop. It's comfortable wearing I have some comfortable pants on today. I don't know. Yeah, that's no reason. We didn't text each other. And
I think Mac even mentioned
it. They were surprised we were both wearing pants.
Something about being able to be in the AC and it's
not 100 degrees, you know? I don't know.
If it were going to be 100 degrees outside today, I probably would have still done shorts.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's going to be like in the 80s or whatever.
These are very comfortable. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's fine. Am I a little worried about how that might go? A little. I'll say this. I have been teaching at UMKC now for what, 3 years?
Is that right?
I started teaching in 24, I think. So the full 24, 25, maybe this is beginning of year three.
All right.
Something like that at UMKC. I've never once been requested to have a meeting with her.
Yikes.
So
that is a
matter of fact, our interview before she hired me for the job might have been 15 minutes. And then they were like, you're our guy. Now, I had to send over a bunch of stuff before that. But I mean, it was not, I would say the interview process was relatively like low stakes. Or
do you think she's going to say you can't talk about the class as much on the show?
That'd be a real bummer. I kind of like being able to talk about the teaching. She's going to kill Professor Tapp as the segment.
Mm-hmm.
No more.
We didn't kill that. No, I'm just kidding.
We usually only do it during the school year.
Okay.
Someone says Cody's getting fired today. A week before
he's not getting fired.
Class starts on that's Tuesday.
He's not getting fired. I just wonder if she's everything. Going to go over some things that she would like you to do this year. Instead.
Some ways to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Put me on a pip. Am I on a pip?
Well, the fact that you haven't had a meeting with.
Performance
with
review
her
right
in
now.
2 years. It could be performance review. It could also just be a catch up of how things have gone over the last couple of years. Like if you feel like you're changing anything, is there anything new that you're doing that's different than you were originally? I don't know.
Yeah. Or it's like, tell me how I can help you be better at what you do.
Which is essentially saying you're not doing a good enough
job. Please tell me how I can help. That crap.
She's very nice anytime I've met with her, but.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like I should be at least a little concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, I'm curious.
Nobody
Cody,
likes to meet with the boss.
I don't think you do, but do you have, I can't remember. I've been to your house one time. Do you have an office?
No.
I was going to say, are you like the other, academia professors who have their diplomas just hanging up on the wall when you first walk in?
He doesn't have an office.
So you don't have office hours anywhere?
Nope. I technically am supposed to make office hours available on my thing. It just says that they're like arrange a time.
Oh, that might be what this meeting's about, actually. You need to have office hours.
Office hours? I don't have an office.
Well, yeah, but that,
how am I supposed to have office hours?
But in college, we had that. Not everybody had an office.
Office hours means like available for email. Like you're literally just sitting at your available to chat with, email, answer questions.
All right. Did someone leave a bad review on ratemyprofessor.com for you yet? Is that what happened?
I don't think he's up there yet.
If somebody did it, I wasn't up there the last time we looked. So maybe somebody finally did it.
About a month or two ago, I thought.
We looked about, it was a few weeks ago we brought it up, and I still didn't have any ratings. I still don't have any ratings. Rate My Professor says...
When I go to Corsicle, your name comes up.
Uh-oh. What's that?
Recent semester's teaching.
What's Corsicle? Typical,
I don't know. you have a profile.
Mm. Did you make a
view Cody's 2026 fall classes?
Oh,
here they are. Comms 363 podcast and audio production Tuesdays and Thursdays, 4 o'clock.
How does it know all that stuff?
It was very easy to find.
I don't like this at all.
Very easy.
This is way too easy to find.
It took me 2 seconds. Yeah.
No, somebody said that maybe this is about the basketball coaching situation to be an assistant coach. So help me if you walk into this meeting and Mark and
Cody, there's some reviews. I have good news for you
on Corsicle.
I found one review. You're gonna. This is actually good for you.
Oh God.
Unfortunately, it's positive.
It's positive.
Now this is from 3 years ago. Were you teaching this yet, or is this a prior professor?
I taught at Avila too.
Okay, it just says. Comms 363 podcast audio production professor review 3 years ago from a student named Peggy. Ring a bell?
This is a different teacher.
All right, because clearly it's a different teacher. What I'm about to read because it's too positive.
I remember someone named Peggy.
It says it's so amazing to have an active reporter as a professor.
I mean,
the professor's name was Peggy. I'm sorry.
Oh,
so it's definitely not you, but it's under the same class. And then it lists a bunch of other professors that teach the same class as you. There's reviews for two of the other professors, none for you. I'm sorry.
That's too bad.
So help me.
The prior
Cody,
was that this class
in,
is composed of spontaneous assignments with unclear requirements. That was a different professor.
Cody, so help me. If you walk into this meeting and Mark Turgeon is sitting next to this woman, it is you have to text us.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to happen. Someone says maybe they're going to review to lower your voice, disturbing other classes nearby.
Actually, I'm on like a corner.
So nobody else is nearby.
There's my classroom. The one door connected to my classroom is empty. There's nothing in it at all. And then the room connected to that is the women's center on campus.
Your class is
so
also
at them a, complaining about it. Other than that, I'm to a hallway.
Your class is also at a time where it's later in the day anyways. There's a lot of, like, I had a couple of evening classes and there was nobody.
Yeah,
around like
someone
that.
Says Peggy's actually Cody's replacement. I just haven't told you yet.
Yeah, yeah. So like, can we get this a lot? Because someone's like, can we record this meeting, please, and play it on the air tomorrow? I wish we could. That'd be amazing.
Oh man,
Cody's off tomorrow. Logan's actually going to be in with me.
Yeah, I'm going to my brother's lake house at the Ozarks.
Yeah, you are you They got a boat? You going on a boat?
They do have a boat. They have a nice boat. They bought a new one like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I don't know.
Ozarks, nice weekend. That'll be good.
So,
yeah, Logan's in tomorrow.
You were very happy to be leaving St. Joe then. I mean, you went from St. Joe
to... half show to the lake?
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm the relief when I got back. St. Joe, like, the drive, it just makes for longer days, all that other stuff. You're sitting out in the heat. You're like, you just kind of like, it kind of wears you down mentally a little bit. And now, half show and then the lake, I'll be good.
Vegas next week.
I'll feel refreshed by Monday, I hope. You know? No guarantee, but I'm hoping so. Somebody says maybe UMKC needs a new jingle.
Oh, gosh.
Somebody says they're actually going to buy you the Argentina studio for you to teach your class out of. You know? We'll see. I got offered to be in a commercial for UMKC once, but I was it was during our show. UMKC has a television ad, and I was offered to be in it.
And you said yes or no?
No, it was during the show.
Oh, during the show.
It was during the show and on very short notice. Mm. So like, almost like a not, you know, an invitation. You ever get to those? You ever get one of those like what I call an invitation, which is essentially they invite you, but based on the timing in which they invite you, the circumstance in which you invite you, you can tell they don't really want you there. Felt like maybe one of those.
Before we get out of here, did you, we were talking about golf before the show.
Yeah.
Of course, the Advent Health Championship's going on this weekend in Kansas City, but the BMW Championship's going on in St. Louis. Do you see who's leading? Two-stroke lead?
No.
Early going?
Mr. Woodland.
Gary Woodland.
Oh, okay.
Local ties, KU grad, Gary Woodland. Good dude.
Recovering from brain cancer? Is that what he had?
Yeah. Or brain tumor.
Was it a brain tumor? I can't remember exactly what it was.
But,
yeah, brain surgery. That I remember.
Brain tumor it was.
Okay.
Just a good dude also. Anyway, he's got a two-stroke lead at the BMW Championship. Keep
good
an eye on that heading into the rest of the weekend.
Obviously very early in the tournament.
Yes.
But still.
He's through 10, four under. He's just two strokes up on, I think it's Justin Thomas. Yeah.
And you got to remember, this is a pretty good field because it's for, there's the Tour Championship stuff.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. I mean, this is a good field.
I think the BMW, if I remember, it's top 70 in the world, like top 70 in the world rankings. Or
is that what it is?
In the FedEx
and it's
Cup
down
rankings.
To the top.
Sorry.
It's down to the top, like what?
It goes down to the top 30, I think, yeah.
Next week?
When you go to East Lake, if it's still there for the Tour Championship.
In Atlanta.
Someone said, did Cody actually request tomorrow off in case he gets fired from teaching some time to mourn? That'll just change the weekend plans, maybe, you know? Someone says, if I get fired, can I call in? Sure.
Yeah, he will.
They fire me tomorrow, I feel like it'd only be right on this show. If they say, no more teaching at UMKC for you.
Someone says they want their money back. It's not been a half hour of Chiefs. Whenever we have a short show like this, the Chiefs Red half hour gets truncated. So,
but, there was quite a bit of Chiefs.
Also, if you're paying for the show, I want to know who you're paying. You're getting ripped off. You shouldn't be paying. You know, it's free to listen. You can turn away anytime.
Listen, maybe we could talk to you if you.
Yeah.
But today we're off at noon or now, so the Red half hour was a different version on a normal day. Tomorrow, I promise you at least 20 minutes of Chiefs in the Red half hour.
I like that you won't promise the full 30, but 20.
No, yeah. Well, technically we're cheating. 25. It's not actually a half hour. Don't tell anybody. It's only 25 minutes technically. Don't tell anybody. All right, Vern's coming up next. Also, Cody, I think, has a bet for Vern during pregame today. Royals and A's right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.